Lasting Media.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey, this is Randy Prosty with the Kentucky Bourbon Festival.
And I'm Steve Coombs with the Kentucky Bourbon Festival in charge of content coordination. And you are listening to the Blue Collar Bourbon Show.
The Blue Collar Bonus Brother.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey.
Hello.
We got a little bit of a different kind of show for us
today.
Okay. Usually we have distilleries. Today, we've got a festival.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is a first on the Blue Collar Bourbon Show.
Wait. Festivals are back?
Yeah.
They're back, baby.
They're back. Well,
this is the Kentucky Bourbon Festival.
Oh, that's
not only that, it's the 30th anniversary.
All right.
Speaking my language, man.
Yeah, man. What better thing than a festival and bourbon and whiskey and... And 30 years of it. These guys know what they're doing. So we've got Randy Prosty and Steve Coombs with us today.
Hey, guys.
Fellas.
Hey, Bill. How are you?
Good. We're doing good. We got bourbon on the table and you guys on Zoom. So what could be better?
Yeah, I think before the call here, we all made the decision. We're all going Elijah Craig.
Everybody is, so, right? You guys too?
We all got the barrel proof or the toasted barrel here.
So. Absolutely.
Man, stellar stuff.
Went in Barstown.
So you guys are putting on the Kentucky Bourbon Festival. Tell us the history behind how it got started, how long you guys have been around.
Well, Steve, you're kind of the history guy. I can kind of talk like high level, but Steve, you've really delved into the history. Why don't you lead with that?
Be happy to. Jimmy Russell tells the story the best when he says that it was about 10 distilleries with some card tables spread out over the front lawn at my old Kentucky home in Bardstown. And he said there was a lot of whiskey drunk that day, but mostly by distillers. And they were drinking each other's booze because they never got to see each other outside of work very often. And it wasn't the most memorable in terms of a tourism experience, but that it was one of those things that made everybody say, let's do this again next year.
Yeah.
And eventually, a formal dinner was scheduled, I think, at the end of the evening or end of the day. And then that started to grow into, some more events. You know, there was a golf tournament added at some point. There were some, what they call it, the All-Star Master Distillers Tasting or something.
And the sampler.
The sampler, All-Star Sampler. And, the event grew from one day to 6 days at one point.
Wow.
And a lot of the stuff was not bourbon-centric. It was a great time for Bardstown locals to get together and add some of their own events and piggyback on the enthusiasm that was built by the Bourbon Festival. So it was still cool. It was starting to lose its focus, as it were, on bourbon only. And that's kind of what we had been charged with bringing back.
Yeah, and of course, with us being in our 30th year, everyone listening, we all understand that, there was a period of time, a long period of time there in that 30 years that bourbon wasn't that cool, wasn't that hip. Fred and Freddie and Eddie and Bruce Russell were talking, back in the 80s when they were getting off planes as they're doing their international travel. They might have been lucky to have the person with the hotel van standing there to take them back to the hotel when they came off the plane. And nowadays they get off and there's throngs of people. They're celebrities. They're rock stars.
They're literally
rock stars. So we've come a long way.
So this year, apparently the 2021 version of this festival is going to have a new format. Can you explain what the old format was, what the new format is, what's the difference, what's going on this year?
Yeah, I can certainly talk to the kind of the high level. It used to have more of the feel, kind of what Steve was saying, continuing on through 2018 and 2019. It still very much had a feel of a small town community festival, county fair. And I don't mean any disrespect to that. I mean, I grew up on a 6th-generation family dairy farm, and I used to run the Wisconsin State Fair. So I love corn dogs and hay bales and all of that. But it just, and it kind of explained this, the consumer got very sophisticated and the industry got very sophisticated, and the festival was just lagging behind. It was a free event, a lot of family-friendly kind of stuff, but you couldn't get actual bourbon sampling at the event. So it's kind of like going to a craft beer festival or a wine festival and not being able to sample the wares. So state laws have been redone, updated, more current, interpreted more correctly. So what we've gone from this that family event to a very serious bourbon-focused, bourbon enthusiast kind of an event where it's 21 plus. It's going to have some admission, a nominal $10 kind of a fee, but it's like a cover charge. There's going to be a lot of really cool things that you get included with that. And it's just a little more refined as the approach. Still going to be a lot of fun, but it's going to be more of the adult fun and more for the bourbon enthusiasts. And as Steve says so eloquently, again, daily, that it's about the bourbon and the people who make it. And Steve certainly, his influence in this was literally my first day on the job. Steve was in the office next door to my office and was working on a project, and we hit it off on day one, and we haven't looked back. And I think we both share that passion. His is the passion of the bourbon initially, and mine was the passion of doing a world-class event. And then I've learned the bourbon, and the two just have very meshed very well. So Steve, why don't you talk about what you knew had to happen and how you've influenced me to be able to go out and execute it.
Is the command that we were given on so many levels, or what was we need sips to lips, right? Mm-hmm. The bourbon distilleries wanted product trial. And so all we had to do, and I literally mean that, all we had to do was focus on how do you do that and make it educational at the same time.
Yeah.
So in every respect, as we've been laying out the programming for the event, we're thinking, how do we get people tasting whiskey while they're in a seminar, for instance, talking about, you know, the Heaven Hill Fire or Eddie Russell and Fred Noe were talking about traveling and being on the road. You know, how do we do that? Getting people a cocktail in their hand, you know, as if they were in a room mm-hmm. with these guys around a fire, just chatting about their travels on the road. So, but also making it educational. Like, we're going to have one seminar where the people from Jeff the Creator are going to come, bring us four different samples of corn, whiskey made from those four different types of corn, and also cornbread byproduct from the back set of the distillate, made into cornbread. It's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
You really
get
a vertical integration there of everything that's part of the whiskey experience. So it isn't difficult to start coming up with ideas when all you got to do is elevate the whiskey. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, that's cool. Can you guys give us just some personal backstory on yourselves? Like, how did you – you kind of explained it just now that got into the whiskey game just through putting together this event, but like, is there more of a backstory? What's where's your whiskey story begin?
Yeah. I mean, and my backstory, I mean, it's not going to be the Steve Martin from The Jerk, but it's kind of like that. I mean, I grew up on a family dairy farm that's sixth generation. I was a teenager, and then through my college years, I was interning for the local newspaper, and they were a major sponsor in one of the little street festivals. They had no idea what their ROI was, so I got involved with that and literally never looked back. And it's 30 years later, I've run some of the coolest festivals and events, big and small, street festivals, the Wisconsin State Fair. I moved here to Louisville for a job with the Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs and did that for a couple of years. I've started and run a couple of really cool craft beer events, and every single one of those have influences that I've brought into what we're doing here. And I think I was kind of the right person at the right time, because I wasn't a super fan of bourbon. I wasn't a super fan of any one distillery. And I just have a knack for putting together the event that people want to attend and that sponsors want to be aligned with. And then Steve, take it. I mean, you are absolutely my layer that brings in all. It makes me look like a genius, and he's behind the scenes a lot of times.
I'm a journalist by trade, and I was a chef throughout the 80s and became a food writer, focused mostly on the trade side of the business. And as I reached out, I became a freelancer after 16 years in an editor's seat and started doing some travel pieces. And I came to Bardstown in 2012 or 13, I don't recall. And the woman who was then the director of tourism was a woman named Dawn Pristle, and she discovers that I don't like bourbon.
Wow.
And so the shame game started. She was like a kid sister. You know, I loved fine wine. I loved tequila. I've always been a fan of gin, and literally after a few hours of her harassing me in the most fun way possible, she dropped me off at Heaven Hills Bourbon Heritage Center and said, literally, you go in there, Steve Coombs, you're going to have a whiskey tasting. Nobody's going to write for Southern Living about my town without tasting whiskey. So, okay. And I kid you not, the lights came on then and I started to enjoy it. And so I slowly began shifting a lot of the coverage that I did to the whiskey industry and got to meet so many of the personalities. And I'm looking around and going, my gosh, I am in the heart of bourbon country. And this is one of the hottest topics to write about in the United States. And so I shifted much of my coverage to it. And when Randy and I got together and were forced to do a, I shouldn't say forced, but had to by virtue of the pandemic, do a video version of the festival. Sorry, I'm stammering on that a bit. I knew all the people, had all the numbers, and I knew the topics, and we just methodically put this thing together in, what, 6 weeks, Randy?
Yeah, and it was
amazing.
And wow. So the deeper I get into this business, the more I love it, the more I get to talk to these great personalities, and the stories are endless. So that's my background.
Very cool.
Well, and talking about the virtual and less than ideal, I mean, my God, the 2020 year was just horrible for anybody in hospitality and tourism, concerts, live festivals, anything. But what Steve and I did in a very short time, as he mentioned, was we made some really killer lemonade out of the lemons that were dumped on us.
And bad lemon.
The virtual content that's on our YouTube page was literally going to be the live educational sessions for the live festival. Mm-hmm. And when we started getting a feeling like the distilleries were a little apprehensive about coming out there for all the right reasons, and one of them literally told me, we don't feel it's responsible for us to be a part of a live festival. And actually they went as far as saying, we don't think it's responsible of you to be trying to produce a live festival in September and October. And Friday night, I was like, what do they know? I slept on it. And Monday morning I called them. I said, okay, if we do this, are you going to support us? And they absolutely didn't. Everyone did. Every one of the distilleries followed us. We got a lot of respect within the industry for making that decision. Not making them tell us no, but we actually pulled the plug and made this pivot. And it ended up being so cool because we had one-on-one communications with the master distillers. Normally they would be traveling all over the world, but they were all grounded. They were grounded here.
We had them trapped.
We had them trapped. And Steve, tell me if I'm wrong, but when you reached out to them to ask them if they wanted to be a part of this, how was it 5 seconds or less before they were on it and jumping on it and anything you need?
Oh yeah.
It was that kind of a feedback.
The operation was incredible. The only times we had any slow responses when we had to go through a gatekeeper at a distillery. And once they understood what we were doing, then it was easy. We got the sources we wanted. I mean, you were saying, unfortunately, Randy, you know, that's how we didn't have it. But fortunately, I look at it as us having them all to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Which made your sales process a lot easier, I would think, this year, wouldn't you say? Because we had the foundational relationship.
No doubt. And we spent 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 60 minutes, some cases, with these folks. And they went back. I think they walked in and Steve, tell me if I'm wrong, they came in expecting you or me to hold an iPhone, and this was going to be our production for this video. It was me standing there, you know, filming. And they walked in, they saw three cameras, everybody was mic'd. We had boom mics, we had studio lighting. We had Bardstown Bourbon Company was wonderful. They were so accommodating, and we used various different backgrounds within there. So it was legitimately it wasn't a television set, it was in the distillery. Mm-hmm. And they all walked out, I think, impressed with the quality that we produced, and that paid dividends going forward. Now that we're back into the live conversation, every single one of those distilleries know that what Steve and I are putting together is top-notch quality. And when we back it up with what we say, it's not just, it looks good on paper. We're actually executing it. And so again, a lot of really horrible things came out of COVID, but a couple of cool things for what we're producing. I don't know that we would be in the same place right now if it wasn't for that opportunity to work with him in that sense in last August and September.
And I'd have to imagine that, like, 2021, people know you're back, you're live. How has the response been? I'm sure it's probably just people are ready to get out.
It's amazing. It's humbling. And I kind of joke that Steve and I could sit out there on the venue with 5 gallon buckets and drum on them and people would pay to see us because it's something. But we've never once taken that for granted. But we literally, this is the first year too. So keep in mind 29 years of it being a free admission community event. Just walk up from wherever you are in town and you can enjoy it to where we partly because of COVID, but also partly to manage the access and to make sure the people that we're getting in there were the right people that the distilleries wanted to have in front of them. So we implemented the admission and the fenced perimeter and an actual gate. And some of it is health and safety, but also, again, it's we sold out, though. We went on sale. This new concept, our VIP package, $400, $300 levels. Sold out in 2 hours.
Wow.
Sight unseen. That's crazy.
Sight unseen. Just trusting what we were building.
That's huge.
The general mission thing.
Sold and out. No family members were forced to buy those tickets. I promise.
The general admission tickets. Now, think about it. It's $10 for a one-day admission, $20 for the three-day, and $15, I think, is the new package. Since we sold out Saturday within the week, we were kind of looking at, okay, how do we build it to where Friday and Sunday they can come and enjoy the festival, bookend it a little bit, and then Saturday is that hole where you can go out and do the distillery tours and go shopping in downtown and kind of really experience Bardstown. But for $10, $15, and $20, they're just getting an amazing set of programming for them. So,
yeah.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, tickets are still on sale, correct?
Few remaining. Friday is nearly sold out.
Okay.
But that Friday-Sunday package. Sunday's a little lighter, and we kind of anticipated that. But we aren't mailing it in. Sunday, we've got a brand new event that we're partnering with Blanton's on. So we're not just calling Sunday just, okay, it's the final day. I mean, we're seriously putting some effort at that programming. But so you can buy a Friday-Sunday package. Friday's got some really cool programming. Saturday, obviously. Saturday's the big day that a lot of people are going to be there, locals and regionals, certainly. But people that are really the enthusiasts are coming in Wednesday, Thursday. You know, Steve and I are adding some content to Thursday afternoon offsite just because there's such a demand, and he has such an impressive roster of different subject matters that we just had to find a place to put it. We couldn't just let it sit there and wait till next year. So ticket back to the original question, tickets are still available. You can go, Eventbrite is our ticketing partner, so eventbrite.com, or you can go through kybourbonfestival.com and then, you know, kind of check us out first and then get over to Eventbrite. But by the time this airs, we might be looking at sold out Friday and Saturday and a few remaining on Sunday.
Yeah.
VIPs were sold out with back in mid-March.
Yeah. So visit kybourbonfestival.com as soon as you can. Grab a ticket. It should be noted, too, that we haven't said this, but the festival is actually happening September 16th through the 19th of 2021. So
people who have bought tickets, what are you hearing that they're the most excited about?
Boy, Steve, I don't know. I mean, Steve, you're kind of in touch with that. What are you? I get a lot of the negative.
I'm not ticket buyers yet. No, I just the sheer enthusiasm so far. I mean, to think that our most expensive tickets disappeared in hours tells me people are excited about this. And truth be known, they don't even know all of what they're going to get. So they're going to be really excited once they get here. So either it's through blind ignorance, blind trust, or these people just have a hunch that they're going to put on a fantastic program. They want to get out. They want to see the people who make the whiskey and taste what they make. And I think they want to get among whiskey fans too. Don't you agree that the camaraderie in this industry,
absolutely,
you know, among the fans is just incredible. Yep. It's always fun to go to a whiskey event.
Yep.
And I learned that a long time ago, that with the craft beer, that it's social first.
Yeah.
People meet new friends. They sometimes only see this group of friends once a year. So it's kind of a little bit of a reunion in it. So it's very social. And Steve and I don't remember where the concept came up, but one of our conversations was like, boy, wouldn't it be cool to reach out to all the regional bourbon societies that...
That's right.
And I was amazed with Churchill Downs, Louisville being 30 miles down the road or up the road from Bardstown, how many people have either heard of but have never attended, or some people had never even heard of the Bourbon Festival. So from a marketing approach, before we start marketing in Seattle and San Diego and Miami and Boston, we thought, let's start right here in the Commonwealth. Let's start in our 2-hour radius and really make sure those people know that they feel the love. And that's not just the consumers, but also the distilleries. Bad on us. We haven't done a good job reaching out to a lot of the craft distilleries and making them feel welcome. Mm-hmm. But
they keep knocking on the door and wanting in. I mean, what a great problem to have.
Yeah.
And I've never seen it. I've never seen it. 30 years of doing events, and I literally have distilleries that were questionable whether they would even be involved 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago to where, okay, I'm going to pencil them in the smallest little spot, and that's what I'm going to count on. And they, I'm on the phone, and before I hang up, they're upgrading themselves to the highest profile positions on the venue. And it's just, and it's humbling. And they're so supportive. They're entering into multi-year agreements with us because I'm presenting it as their investors in what we're trying to build.
Yeah.
They've seen what we've done. They've heard and seen on paper what we're planning, what our vision is, and they're investing in that to make sure that they're helping us along. So I don't have to be out there 6 months from now trying to resell it again. Yeah. So, I mean, it's so humbling. I've never seen anything like it. So once again, this industry is unlike any other industry out there. I don't care what it is, if it's automaking or soda or whatever, they're so competitive. This whole community literally lifts each other up, and they share their wealth, and they're so, see, what's the word you talk about this industry being so not charitable, but
well, just so open and generous with its time, talent, and treasure. Mm. I mean, it's amazing what they'll spend on us. It's amazing how much time they give us, and it's amazing what they'll tell us about their businesses. You know, that you just don't, you know, I still do cover fine dining restaurants occasionally, and everybody's always so secret and so stuffy about it. It's like, you know, everybody else did it. I don't know what your twist is, but it's not that different, right? The whiskey makers will say that before we do.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's not that different from anybody else's, but it's different enough that we have loyal customers,
right?
Because of our little nuances. But I don't know. I just keep saying that the industry has yet to find its ego, certainly on the side that we're dealing with.
And there are some geniuses out there, right? But what Steve was saying, I'm a Van Halen fan, so I liken that to young Eddie Van Halen, who would play with his back to the audience so people couldn't see what he was doing. He didn't want to see the competitors. Well, the bourbon industry is the other way around. They walk up, they know that they're the rock stars of the industry, but they play where everybody can see, and they share. And Steve has told me so many stories about distilleries. If someone has a piece of equipment go down, most in other industries, they'd be like, all right, hey, we got a wide open opportunity. Let's bury them. No, they call the competing distillery people, the operations managers, and they bring parts over to get them up and running. It's just
there's no other industry like that, really. It's so communal.
Not that I'm aware of.
The Heaven Hill fire is just that is etched in my mind, that story. And
yeah, I was going to say that's a good example of it.
Well, last year when we did the virtual, a concept was we're going to put two master distillers or two brand ambassadors on the program together. And I said, Steve, these guys are going to fight like cats and dogs. Let's just tie their tails together and throw them in a sack. And it was the absolute opposite. They loved it, and they shook hands off camera. These guys are all going out and, you know, having dinner together, and they compete at retail for every little eighth of an inch.
Yeah.
But that's, and they said, oh, is it Freddie that, or Fred? No, this is, oh, that's them. The salespeople, they fight it up.
Yeah. Max Shapiro's line is always, we will fight to the last inch of retail space. You know, we'll fight to the death, but if somebody needs us on the other, you know, on the actual business side, we're right there for them all the time.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
That's killer.
Okay. So September 16th through the 19th, it's in Bardstown, but where exactly is it happening in Bardstown?
It's Spalding Hall, which is at 114 North 5th. It's actually a 200-plus-year-old Civil War-era Catholic seminary that is our office and event space. The front lawn is an amazingly historic venue, but it also houses the Oscar Getz Museum of Whiskey in it. So it's kind of the epicenter of bourbon. It literally is where it all kind of comes together. So it's two blocks off the main strip of downtown Bardstown, and it's easily accessible, walkable, and it's a beautiful little small town that has just so much charm, and happens to also have the name of the bourbon capital of the world. So we make the most of that too.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
Is there a seminar or a tasting or something happening this year at the festival that you guys are most excited about that it's just can't miss?
I'll reveal my own bias here in that I wrote a book 6 or 7 years ago called Country Hands, A Southern Tradition of Hogs, Salt, and Smoke. And I learned while editing that final manuscript, no kidding, it sounds like a lie, but it's not, that country ham when sliced like prosciutto tastes freaking fabulous with bourbon.
Hmm.
And I've since developed a tasting regime that I do publicly and lead people through public events and private tastings and things like that. And one of the seminars is going to be Cured and Crafted, and it's matching Freddie and Fred Noe with Sam Edwards, who is producer of Great Country Hams in Surrey, Virginia, at Edwards Country Ham. And when these guys start talking, you start to see the similarities in distilling and aging, and curing ham, I should say. And it really all hinges on aging. But we will lead the participants in that seminar through that tasting, through that pairing. So that'll be a lot of fun. But I'm looking at some of the others. You know, we're going to do, the challenge of, you know, of the challenging craft of blending. People think, you know, it's just a matter of adding a little of this, adding a little of that, but it's not. It's really an art, a science all together. And some of these distilleries do, you know, they'll blend as few as 9 barrels. Others will blend as many as 2,000 barrels. And there's an art and science applied to both. So we're going to try to, you know, remake that for the guests of those premium experiences and lead them through that with, you know, be it graduated cylinders or eyedroppers or however we're going to do it. We're going to do it and let them see how darn hard it is.
Yeah.
Because I've never made a good blend in any of those things. I think I'm doing well, but I'm not in the end. So I don't even take some of us. You know, they'll give you a little bottle that you get to take home. I tend not to take mine home. So that's not a fault of their whiskey. That's a fault of my lack of skill. But we really want to get things to be hands-on. You know, nosing and tasting like a pro. That's another one. It's going to be cool. You know, that people don't know that most whiskey tasting at the professional level, at the distillery level, centers on finding faults. Mm-hmm. They know what the good stuff tastes like, but you have to discover the bad parts first. And I think that's going to be an eye opener for people who participate in that session.
Right. I think what you guys need, they need a seminar on blind tastings.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, I got guys that can do that.
There's a podcast that does that
specifically.
Yeah.
Well, and we've talked about that. And of course, you know, Glen Cairn is the official glass of the Kentucky Bourbon Festival, and they have the blind, you know, the Glen Cairn nosing glass. So that could be something that we look at doing next year.
Yeah.
But it's the sensory and you know, Steve's talking about the blending and all the tasting, and I'm new to this, and I didn't really buy into what he was saying, but we've done 14 private barrel, you know, single barrel picks over the last couple of months, which is new also to us. So it took us to 30 years before we started partnering with the distilleries to do these. But the last two that we've done were with Brent Elliott at Four Roses and then with Jane Bowie and Denny Potter at Maker's Mark. So, I mean, they've all been fabulous. The Blanton's, the Buffalo Trace, the Barton 1792, Wilderness Trail. I mean, we've done them all. We have Bullet and Preservation coming up yet ahead of us. So, but sitting there watching Brent Elliott and then watching Jane Bowie, the director of innovation, do this, and then all the different subtle nuances as you're mixing this. My God, I mean, I was just so jacked about that. I realize now what I didn't know even 3 months ago. So,
Have you guys done the private selection?
Yeah, we've done a couple. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, they're a blast, aren't they?
We have three more coming up, don't we?
Yeah,
yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that is one of the most exciting things in American whiskey. Yes, to go through that.
It's a lot of fun.
We have distilleries. This year, Maker's Mark, back to that generosity, not only are we doing the one barrel that's going to retail through Justin's House of Bourbon, that will be sold exclusively through them, but they also donated a second barrel that we just picked on Friday, and they're bottling them and bringing them to me, and I'm selling them as part of our fundraiser, have separate labeling, separate little neck labels or neck tags hanging on them. Next year, we're doing that with Jim Beam and Knob Creek. The year after that, Bardstown Bourbon Company will actually be, you know, putting their own single barrels. We'll be ready. Wow. So we're doing that. And then this afternoon with Heaven Hill, I literally just confirmed that 2024, we're going to be partnering with them on something similar. So I've got this thing built out to 4 and 5 years ahead where we know that we've got some really cool private barrels or, you know, the single barrels coming out. So
that's cool.
Keep an eye on us.
I'm going to ask let's get whiskey personal here for a second.
Okay.
And I know if you guys are anything like us, this is ever changing and fluid. But what's your current go tos? What's your current favorite whiskeys right now?
Oh, that's always tough. I'm lucky enough as a whiskey writer to be getting a lot of press bottles, including those Elijah Craigs that we were talking about earlier. I'm looking at, I've got a lot of craft bottles that are outstanding, like Spirits of French Licks, bourbon. What is it? Matty Gladden is brilliant. And Lee Sinclair. And I'm looking at a bottle of Davidson Reserve Rye. You guys probably know that one, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I love what they're doing over there at that distillery. Was it Pennington?
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, just like showing up at the candy store every day, it's hard to choose.
I know. It's like choosing a favorite child. I get it. But
yeah, we had I did a food and bourbon pairing with a 1792 a couple of Mondays ago in Paducah. And two of the guests were Mark and Sherry Carter from Old Carter Bourbons.
Oh, yeah.
They came over to where we were staying that night and left four, you know, half drunk bottles of their bourbon. I mean, lucky me, right?
Yeah, right.
Amazing whiskeys. So I honestly can't tell you what my favorite is. It's just, I'm having fun with all of it. There's some bad ones for sure. But
my answer has to be a little bit more diplomatic and a little bit more neutral. When I was interviewing with the board, and I knew half of them were distilleries, they asked me that question. What's your favorite whiskey? What's your favorite bourbon? And I said, Kentucky. And I'm glad I said that because it was the right answer.
I was going to say right answer, yeah.
I learned early on from my father and probably my grandfather that you do business with people who do business with you. And so there are distilleries that are supportive of what we're doing and are investing early and day one to make sure we drive that forward. Those are my favorite bourbons. There's a lot of them out there that just, for whatever reason, either we didn't get a hold of them this year. We've had one distillery thus far, and I won't disclose who, but you'll figure it out. But one that just said no, and it was just a combination of us not delivering the experience that they felt aligned with their brand for years, and a little bit of wait and see, cross their arms, sit on the sideline, watch, see what we do this year. They're going to be sorry, but hopefully we'll get them back next year. But they have some product that I really do enjoy, but that's not what I'm currently buying off the shelves. I'm buying everything from Justin's House of Bourbon because they invested in us. So I can go to any liquor store anywhere and buy this stuff. But Justin's just absolutely, they're not just our retail partner for all these barrel picks that we're doing, but they are helping us with the master distillers auction that we've been doing for years, but haven't been maximizing the potential on that. So these guys literally, I mean, they're geniuses and they know all the ins and the outs of this stuff. So I buy the whiskey from the people that are supporting us, and I buy it from the people that are supporting us. And I think somewhere along the line that all pays dividends. There's a lot of goodwill going on right now that I just want to make sure everyone understands that we're supporting them just as much as they're supporting us, at least if not in dollar amounts, but in spirit. Certainly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, cool.
So can you guys name some of the distilleries we can look forward to seeing this year at the festival?
Oh, God, that's, you get what you expect, which is Maker's Mark, Heaven Hill, Jim Beam, Lux Row. And then you get into Bardistown Bourbon Company, Wild Turkey. But then you start peeling back the layers. You've got Michter's. You've got Lux Row. You've got Green River, which is the O.Z. Tyler.
Oh, yeah.
Buffalo Trace, Barton 1792. I mean, it's just amazing. And then you get into the crafters. We've got 14 different craft distilleries, everything from William Tarr through Penelope, Pinhook, Jeff the Creed. The Boone County folks just stepped up. So, I mean, it is, and I apologize if I've left anyone out. We have 32 different distilleries that are on board, and many of them have never done anything. Angel's Envy was with us for years and walked away because we weren't necessarily representing them. They're back this year. Rabbit Hole. Not only is Rabbit Hole back, they're the partner of our main headline Saturday night dinner. And Steve and I, a couple of weeks ago, sat in on their very first public private barrel, you know, the single barrel selection. So it's amazing. So, I mean, Cave gets it. I mean, but I asked them a year ago, would you have talked to us based on what we have been and what you've heard about us? Would you have talked to us? And the answer was no. And so what Steve and I are packaging and how we're communicating, it's resonating in the industry, and people are reaching out to us. I've actually had to tell a couple of distilleries no, because they didn't fit the criteria. That the nexus has to be some Kentucky. But so it's very humbling. But it is just what you are going to see from a visual. If you've ever been to the festival, I always use the Men in Black, you know, the eraser pens, zap. But and I mean that in all due respect. I mean, in the festival business, if you make it past 3 or 4 years, you've really done something. So to make it 30 years, there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, a lot of volunteers, yeah. a lot of good people that have gotten us this far. And the distilleries have remained with us for the most part. So when I joke about that, I don't mean any disrespect to the people that got us this far. But you literally are going from, you know, the community, small town festival, county fair feel to world class, the tenting, the lighting, the decor that we're pulling together, the VIP experience. It's just and the core of that, I'm not just saying it because Steve's sitting here with me, but the core of that is literally the educational pieces, the interaction, the access to the legends and the icons of the industry, the people who make the whiskey, their stories, their experiences. That's the core of this thing. And everything else is just kind of emanating from that. So,
and these are also experiences that you can't buy anywhere else.
Yeah.
My philosophy in festival production has always been give the attendee an experience they can't easily get anywhere else. I mean, that's the Disney model. If you go through that, Churchill Downs, the Kentucky Derby, there's, you can go to horse races and you can go to horse races at Churchill on, but it's not going to be the Derby. So, and we also understand for a lot of people, if you're there on a Tuesday in June, that might be your one Churchill Downs experience. So here, if you're here on a Sunday afternoon, because that's the only time you could get here, we owe you an experience. And so we're mindful of that as we're producing that. I like to produce it through the eyes of the person that's going to attend. And make sure we're checking those boxes too.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so we covered the website, kybourbonfestival.com, correct?
Yes.
Okay, are there any other places online, social handles, anything like that, that anyone can go get more information, follow you guys, stay up to date with things?
Oh, yeah, for sure. At KY Bourbon Festival on Instagram, and we have a Facebook page. Certainly, we're on Twitter a little bit, but Instagram and Facebook is really where we live. And I cannot encourage people enough, go to the website, not just because we want you to come and check us out, but you will be immediately prompted to sign up for the e-newsletters, the e-blasts. 90% of our VIP and ticket sales were all done through that e-database. We didn't even go to social media and go to the public for some of this stuff. So if you're interested at all in getting those tickets, make sure you sign up. We've got a really cool announcement coming up on June 11th, which is National Bourbon Day, about a new festival for next year that we're going to be producing. So it's not just about the September event. It's also how we can kind of build programming year round that connects the people and gets us to the festival. So if you subscribe to the KY Bourbon Festival to the e-newsletter, you'll get all of that breaking news stuff before anyone else gets it.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right. So Kentucky Bourbon Festival.
Sign me up. Yep. I'm in.
September 16th through the 19th. We'll be there.
Yep.
We got press passes. We'll be there.
We got a media row too. So maybe you all do a podcast.
That'd be great.
I think that's the plan.
We'd love to have you there.
I think that's the plan.
That's new this year too. The media row. We want people. Steve's going to put together this amazing set of rock star icons. And when they're done with their programming, they're stepping off that stage or stepping right into media row.
That's awesome.
Grab them and talk to them.
So yeah, that's cool. That's cool. September 16th through the 19th. Grab tickets while you still can. KYBourbonFestival.com. And then all the fancy highfalutin stuff goes on sale June 14th, correct?
There's nothing fancy and highfalutin. It's all very approachable. And Steve and I joke about it. You know, there's the bourbon prom. They used to call that the gala. And that was the fancy. We want people coming as you are. We want you coming in. The food and the bourbon will be elevated, but the experience is going to be very relaxed. So
cool.
It's not highfalutin. There's just an elevated experience that you're going to be able to get into on June 14th.
Okay.
The price definitely matches the experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, but thank you all for spending some time with us today, and everyone that's listening. My gosh, come out and check us out. Be a part of it. Enjoy it and come back again. Tell some friends.
There you go.
Absolutely. Yeah, Randy and Steve, looking forward to getting up there and drinking with you guys.
Awesome.
Definitely. Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Cheers.
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 Thanks so much.
Blue Collar Bourbon is part of the Lasting Media Network of Podcasts and is produced by John Fender, Jason Barrett, and Jonas Litton. QC by me, Meadman, and edited by Ben Delameter and JoJo. Our theme music was written and recorded by Joe Nasty. Special thanks to Red Dog Wine and Spirits and Cool Springs Wine and Spirits in Franklin, Tennessee, and Elixir Spirits in Spring Hill, Tennessee. To learn more about any of the whiskeys we taste, visit thebluecollarbourbon.com. If you'd like to support the show, visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/bluecollarbourbon and take advantage of the great rewards we have to offer. Thank you for listening. And don't forget to rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts above 0.05 BAC.